I was like, maybe I really want to do something with dogs. And I pretty much just like typed it in the computer, like jobs with dogs. And grooming was one of the options that popped up. And I was like, oh, this sounds great. This sounds like a lot of fun. And that's pretty much how I started.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you know, the whole, like, you know, the whole myth, obviously, and you see a lot of posts on Facebook and things like that, where, you know, like this is not just playing with dogs. So how did you?
Oh no, that was totally me when I thought I was like, oh, this is like a fun, easy job. Like, oh my gosh, I could totally do this. I thought I was just going to be like washing dogs, like no big deal. Like it was going to be super easy. And honestly, my whole family disowned me when I went to school. They were like, all right, we're not helping you pay to go to school if you want to do this. We don't approve of this. You know, they saw grooming as like a dirty job in the back of the pet store. Everyone, I mean, like literally, it was pretty terrible. Like they wouldn't talk to me. It was really bad. So I did it anyways. And once I started school, I was like, oh crap, this is not easy. What did I get myself into?
This is Ryan Alvarez with Grooming Unleashed, episode 11. And I am very excited to have our next guest on with us today, which is Allison Brooks, a young and rising groomer in the industry. She's making waves on social media. She started her own YouTube channel. She started her own business. She has placed for futures in the industry, and this is all within the last 18 months. So I am, again, pleased to announce our next guest. Here is Allison Brooks. Hey, hey, you found us. This is Grooming Unleashed, where we learn and talk about the ins and outs of the pet grooming industry. From pro groomers and salon owners to show hosts and dog handlers, we'll jump into the stressful and crazy stories of the day-to-day operations of the crazy world of grooming. I'm your host, Ryan Alvarez. Our podcast is sponsored by Loyalty Pet Products. Loyalty Pet Products provides quality grooming tools and accessories at an affordable price. From shears to stripping knives to smocks and hammocks, Loyalty Pet Products has an essential tool to fit your expectation and style. Use code UNLEASHED to save 10% today. Loyalty Pet Products, uniquely designed, beautifully priced. Hey everybody, this is Ryan Alvarez with Grooming Unleashed. This is episode 11, and you are here with Allison Brooks. And Allison, why don't you go ahead and say hi to everybody and introduce yourself just a little bit?
Hey guys, I'm Allison. I hate doing introductions.
All right, and that's the end of the interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No, so I have a Bichon named Nikki. I just got a standard poodle named Bee. I've been grooming for just a tad over 2 years. I'm 22, pretty young. I don't know if that's the best I can do for an introduction.
No, you're good. I think some of the people that listen to us are definitely savvy on social media. So tell us a little bit about
I post on my social a lot. So you if you're listening to this, follow me on one of those. So you probably know most of my life already.
Yeah. So we'll jump right into that. So your Instagram handle is?
Animal Arts by Allison.
Okay. And then what do you usually post on there for the most part besides Nikki?
So my grooming Instagram is just for like me posting to other groomers. Like I also have a business account Instagram for like my actual shop. And that's one that I send clients to and stuff. But my Animal Arts by Allison is the dogs I groom at the shop, my dogs I do for show. Pretty much just grooming in general, tools, products, equipment, all that kind of fun stuff.
Gotcha. And then you also just started a YouTube channel several months ago, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of crazy because I actually did a video on my YouTube channel about this. I have super crazy, terrible social anxiety. And I never in my life thought that I would do a YouTube channel or do anything where I needed to like talk to people. And so I kind of had the idea to do this YouTube channel about grooming because I'm a young groomer and I realized that I had a lot of really awesome people around me when I started, which is why I feel like I got off like to a really great start. And I'm really super thankful for that. So I felt like I got a lot of knowledge that a lot of other people didn't have access to. And so that was the purpose of starting the channel. I just wanted to talk about that. And my fiance was actually like, you know, it might really help with your social anxiety to just like throw yourself out there and do it. And so he actually was the one that kind of was like, that's a great idea. Just do it. Like, just here, come on, we're doing it. Like, and he kind of pulled up my computer, was like, all right, what do you want to call it? And I was like, I have no idea. So that's kind of how it started. And it's totally helped. And like, it's been crazy, honestly.
All right. Well, awesome. We're, let's go back to your high school years.
Oh, great. And, okay.
And either your counselor or, you know, a teacher said, okay, what do you want to do when you grow up? What was the first thing that you would always put down?
So a lot of people probably don't know this. I played basketball in high school, and that was like all I did. That was all I was known for. That was the only thing I could do. I wasn't a straight A student. I had summer school several times. So I could only play basketball, and that's all I did. And then I knew I didn't want to play basketball in high school. So my plan B when I got out of high school was to run our family business that we have. My mom had a Bluegrass Auto Body. We fix wrecked cars. We have several locations here in Lexington. And that was kind of like, I had never thought in a million years that I would ever do anything else. So I never even had a vision of like what I was going to do because I just figured I'd fall into the family footsteps and take over the business.
Mm-hmm. So and how did that lead you into what you are doing today?
So I graduated high school and I didn't go to college. I went straight into the family business and I worked there for a couple of years. And I realized that I really hate cars. So that was not going to work. Like, I had to fill out all the paperwork and I had to separate like the parts on the paperwork. And I couldn't tell you a Toyota from a Ford. Like, I had no idea. Like, I was just like beyond lost. And my mom would look at me and be like, Allison, how the heck do you not know what a car this is? And I'm just like, Mom, I just don't care. They all look the same. They're all square and they're silver. I mean, it's a car. I don't know what you want from me. So I kind of was like, all right, this isn't going to work. And I realized I had to find something else. So around that time, my dog that I grew up with, her name was Sugar. She had passed away and she was a Bichon, oddly enough. And so I was like, maybe I really want to do something with dogs. And I pretty much just like typed it in the computer, like jobs with dogs. And grooming was one of the options that popped up. And I was like, oh, this sounds great. This sounds like a lot of fun. And that's pretty much how I started.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you know, the whole myth, obviously, and you see a lot of posts on Facebook and things like that, where, you know, like this is not just playing with dogs. So how did you?
Oh no, that was totally me when I thought I was like, oh, this is like a fun, easy job. Like, oh my gosh, I could totally do this. I thought I was just going to be like washing dogs, like no big deal. Like it was going to be super easy. And honestly, my whole family disowned me when I went to school. They were like, all right, we're not helping you pay to go to school if you want to do this. We don't approve of this. You know, they saw grooming as like a dirty job in the back of the pet store. Everyone, I mean, like literally, it was pretty terrible. Like they wouldn't talk to me. It was really bad. So I did it anyways. And once I started school, I was like, oh crap, this is not easy. What did I get myself into? And I honestly really wanted to quit because I was like, this is too much work. I didn't sign up for this. And, but I had like a point to prove, like I wasn't going to quit and prove my family right. So I stayed through school and stuck it out and ended up not being too terrible, not too terrible anyways.
Yeah. And it, you know, not every dog is square and silver. So that helps.
So that totally helps because I was going to lose my mind having to deal with cars all day.
So now you graduated from a grooming academy and then,
yes.
And this is within the past year, correct?
When did I graduate?
It's about, it's been about a year, I believe.
No, it was 2018.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It was October 2018 was when I graduated school.
All right. So about a year and a half. So within the past 18 months, a lot has happened in your life.
Yes.
Which, by the way, you said your fiance, and that just happened recently. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Shout out to Connor. Yes. And then, so before all that, though, you graduate in the last 18 months, you've graduated from Groomers Academy. You mm-hmm. have also opted to start your own business with basically a clean slate of clients.
Yes.
And, you ventured out on your own. You started your YouTube channel.
Yes.
You've increased your following on social media by doing pretty much all the right things you're supposed to do on social media. And
yes.
Then you recently have joined up with the Loyalty Squad, which is a team comprised of loyalty pet product affiliates and stuff, but it's mostly for up and coming and / professional groomers that we've kind of put together. So tell us a little bit about your
yes.
last 18 months.
So, goodness. I mean, I feel like you covered it, but like in detail, it's just been crazy. I just work nonstop. Like, you mentioned like my social media following and social media, man, it's a lot. It's just like, I just literally work 24/7. You can ask Connor. He gets frustrated with me. He's like, will you please get off your phone and stop working? And I'm like, no, I can't. I have to respond to these people. I have to make a post. I have to work. And I honestly feel like that's a way that I've been able to cope with my anxiety is just to keep working. If I stop working, I feel like my anxiety gets worse. So I constantly have to like be doing something. And that's just, I just go like one after the other. I'm like, oh, there's a good idea. Let's do it. And I don't stop until it's done or succeeds. So I don't know. It's just been kind of a roller coaster, honestly. Lots of long nights, lots of crying, good and bad, lots of help from everyone, support from everybody. Lots of surprises. It's just been kind of crazy, honestly. Like starting my own shop, like my first like week or two open was absolutely the worst ever. I was pretty sure I was going to quit and become a desk job person. So I don't know. It's just been crazy, but it's all smoothing out finally, and things are going well.
That's good. Now, what do you get more satisfaction from, a really awesome groom or a new groomer who maybe seeks your advice, and then you give them advice and then like a week or two later they're like, thank you so much?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Ooh, okay. I mean, like a good groom that like I did a good groom.
Yeah.
Or okay, so honestly, I'm probably gonna say if I'd like me doing a good groom, a pet grooming does not fulfill my soul. It's great and everything, it pays the bills, but that's kind of why I compete and I do all this stuff, because that's really what gets me going. And I just groomed my standard poodle for the first time a couple weeks ago, and like literally that's the first time I've groomed a standard poodle that had coat, that was well structured, and put it in a trim. And I've been focusing on my Bichon for 2 years, and I haven't been doing really any other breed trims, so this is my first like real trim outside of that. And I personally feel like I crushed it. And I remember looking at the picture and crying, because I was like, all of this hard work is finally paying off. Like, things are clicking and making sense. It makes me feel good when people message me for help, or they like appreciate my feedback and everything. But I'm a very self-driven type person, and like to see myself progress.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about competing. So okay. What drove you to compete that first time?
Michelle Worthy. She drug my butt to a show. Honestly, if it wasn't for her, I don't know if I would have ever competed. She was pretty much, so she was my teacher, my mentor, and she pretty much gave me no option. She was like, come on, we're going to go compete. We need to find you a dog. You need to keep it maintained, and you're going to do it. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing, but sure, why not? So that's why I started, because she forced me to, but I'm super thankful.
All right. And then we're going to go to, so the recording of this is February 16th. It's probably going to release in a couple days. So we're going to go to the beginning of January. So a little over a month ago at Hilton Head. And yes. So it was the first weekend of Loyalty Squad, and not your first competition, but at the same time you entered quite a few different competitions. And I'm going to dig a little personally, because okay. I even responded to you after about this. So when you placed, we'll go ahead and tell everyone exactly what you won a ribbon for.
So I got second in Futures of the Industry with my Bashan Nikki. That's what I won.
and then you made a comment, and your comment was, I feel like this is validation for, you know, me in the competition world, because of the fact that you do have a large following. But in all honesty, and you've already mentioned this a couple times, you're only 22 and you just turned 22.
Just turned 22.
People, would you agree that a lot of people that follow you or have been following you don't realize how young you are?
Yeah, I definitely would say that's fair. I think I made a post one time with my age, and all the comments were like, oh my gosh, you're only how old? And so I would definitely see people do not realize that I'm just barely 22.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely doing all the right things in terms of, you know, social media and competing and
thank you.
Wanting to be driven. Just don't burn yourself out. And you know, I always tell you guys, like when I say you guys, I mean like the Loyalty Squad, the team.
Yes.
I basically say you guys have fun, like, and just be a little bit better than you were the day before. And
yeah.
That's not just competing, that's with everything, with life and everything, but you have got to understand that, like, there's so many more important things in life, and you have to understand that, like, these should be fun moments. And so, for you and for all the other, like, competitive groomers out there, like, yeah, I want you guys to definitely, like, be driven to be the best, because you should be, but at the same time, like, have to understand that if you don't place, that, you know, it's not the end of the world. And
it's not the end of the world. It's like tough, because you feel like you put so much into it and you practice, and it's just more of like a personal letdown, but it definitely isn't any kind of like whether you're successful or not, that does nothing. It's honestly, I feel like more of like a personal battle.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to, you know, somebody who coached a lot of sports and played a lot of sports, and you know this too, now that you tasted a little bit of the sugar, you're going to be a little addicted to just constantly trying to play. So, good luck. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it, because I know that you're going to keep kicking butt in the ring.
I'm excited. I've got Hopefully we'll be doing some different dogs this year that I'm not familiar with. So I'm going to be busting some butt trying to learn some new things, but it'll be a fun year. I am really, really excited.
Yeah. And so the next place that, that you will be at Atlanta Pet Fair. And what are the competitions you're entering in there?
Yeah. So I'll be at Atlanta Pet Fair with the Loyalty Squad team. And I'll be competing an entry, all other purebred with a Bichon, mixed Salon with a standard poodle and Asian. I just got called off the wait list for that. And standard poodle in poodle in a modern trim. So that's what we're gonna try to accomplish.
Awesome. Yeah, it's that's definitely going to be a very busy weekend for you and actually a lot of the squad members too. But
yes.
So now you got a poodle so that you could practice on that particular trim for competition. Is there another breed on the horizon that Connor needs to know about?
Nope.
Not yet, right?
I want another Bichon. I want a crew of Bichons in my house. So other than that, if he could just prepare himself for like 5 more Bichons, then I'd be happy.
And Connor, when you listen to this, I started out with 2 rescue dogs. And right now my wife is delivering puppies downstairs. So
I don't know if I'll ever make it that far. I mean, I say that now, but I really don't think so. But
you talk about social media being a full-time job. You know, people on the outside that look in and they see like, you know, the standard poodles or any other like breed that is championship lines and all the testing and it is now like I told you before we started I helped deliver the first puppy, which that's the first time I've ever done that, so definitely washed my hands and then enjoyed a little Snickers. But it is, my wife's gonna be up all through the night, which we're lucky like Safari started having the puppies around 8:30 tonight. Most of the time, at least in my experience with the puppies, it happens at like 2 a.m. Safari's going to be in labor until probably like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then it's just a constant checking to make sure that she doesn't roll on top of the puppies and suffocate them, and
it's stressful. Just,
for 8 weeks it is constant babysitting.
Yes, and it is stressful.
It is really stressful. So the whole reason I even started talking about that is because I wanted to get into social media and how it is indeed a full-time job. So you have not paid for any followers, correct? It's all organic?
No, everything is organic.
Right. And so how many times do you post a day?
So I get asked a whole lot about social media, obviously, because I've got, man, I don't even know.
4,700.
No, it's 4,700.
Oh, excuse me.
I've got 4,700. And so I post only like usually once a day, sometimes twice a day, but I try to save my content because I work in an area that's mostly farms. I live in farm country, the Kentucky Horse Park, where the Kentucky Derby and everything goes on. It's literally like not far away from me. So I do a lot of farm dogs. So I really don't always get the opportunity to have like that super cute dog with that super cute haircut and get that perfect picture. So I usually don't post more than once a day, but I will typically post like, I don't know, 3 to 5 stories minimum, at least on a day, like maybe a couple more, sometimes a whole lot more. But I at least get one post up a day.
So what is your like great, like golden nugget tidbit for somebody who wants to get into social media, develop a following, they're a decent groomer, but they really don't know where to start? Should they start with content? Should they start with just posting a good groom with a clean background and clean table, or should they start with posting to stories to try to get interaction?
So Gosh, honestly, Instagram is kind of an all or nothing thing. They have a crazy algorithm, which if you don't know what algorithm means, you need to look that up because, excuse me, that's how Instagram runs. And everything kind of mushes together. Like, you definitely need to make sure you have the right content for what you want. One of my biggest pet peeves is when there's still dog hair on the table or, you know, their station behind in the photo is full of like their half eaten lunch and like 18 sodas from where they haven't thrown them away all week. Those things drive me insane. And honestly, like I can't even look at the dog because I'm looking at all the crap in the photo.
Right.
So definitely just like clean photos. And oh my goodness, if they post multiple pictures, please, for the love of everything in me, put the one where the dog is finished groomed in the as the first frame, because that's what goes on your profile. I can't tell you how many times people have to swipe and your before picture is first. Like, the before picture then is what gets on your feed. So like you want your finished product to be what goes on your feed. So post the after picture first and then the before picture if you're doing the slides. You have to comment and interact with other people. Use hashtags. Those are super, super, super important. You don't want to use like really bland, like just hashtag dog or hashtag groomer. You want to be a little bit more elaborate. But that's super important. And then your stories as well. I mean, you really have to do all of it. It's not like, here's the one key to success for Instagram. If you do this, you're going you're gonna gain followers. You have to kind of be on the ball on everything.
Yep. No, I agree. And, you know, that's something that I talk about. You know, I'm going to be teaching the same thing in Atlanta Pet Fair as far as like just being honest. And one of the things that I spoke about at Hilton Head was, you know, it's okay to not be perfect. It's actually, it's actually a blessing to not be perfect. Because if you're trying to drive more customers to your shop and they happen to follow you on Instagram, which is actually happening with my wife right now, she's actually getting new clients because of Instagram, which is great.
It's awesome.
If you are always posting and waiting for that perfect groom all the time, your customers are going to expect you to be perfect all the time.
Oh, and definitely.
The bad thing about that is that if you do happen to make a mistake,
they're going to be on you.
They're going to be on you. But the thing is that they are mostly bringing in pets. They're not bringing in show dogs.
Nope. And they don't understand the difference.
Yeah. You don't want to spend 2 hours on Fufu's, you know, like regular Tuesday trim.
Oh, absolutely not. I spend 1 hour on a small dog maximum, like in and out. I've got to move on to the next. It's honestly, that's the one thing I hate, because especially where my Bichon goes to work with me every day. And so my clients, if they have a Bichon, that's like my least favorite pet to groom, because they see my dog and they want my dog. And they don't understand that their Bichon that's not really the best bred and has one ear that flies up in the air can't have a round head, especially when they come every 4 months for a groom.
Exactly. Yeah, because so they don't see you so constantly bathing and fluffing out. And exactly.
Oh, you should see their faces. And I tell them, I'm like, yeah, she gets a bath once a week, at least sometimes once every 4 days, and gets brushed out every single day. And they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know, like, you can't do it at home. Like, it needs to be a professional bath and blow out and brush. Like, it's a whole process. Like, you can't just bathe it at home and towel dry it and let it air dry and consider it done.
Yeah.
And their faces are kind of like, oh, crap.
And we have standard poodles, and it's like, they don't understand, like, the bands that are in the hair serve a purpose. So if we ever have, like, Tesla, like, going out and about in public, and she's in her bands, they're like, oh my gosh, that's such a cute like hairdo. And like, it's for competition purposes and show purposes.
So, yeah. No, they don't get it. I just kind of laugh it off and move on.
Yeah. And that's nothing against customers at all. It's just, they just they're not in the industry. You know,
I call them civilians. the civilians just don't understand, and that's okay.
It sounds like you're in the middle of a war, but okay.
I called them the civilians.
Which we're in the grooming industry, so I guess that's true.
But it's pretty much a war out there. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. So we, you know, kind of moving forward, what you mentioned something about you're going to, Utah to kind of like decompress and everything. And, tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm going to Utah, next week. I don't know when this airs, but I go, I leave on the 18th to just really relax. And it's kind of funny. We went to Utah last year for the first time. Connor loves to ski, loves to ski. I've only skied once in my entire life. So we went out there so he could ski, and I just was like, okay, well, I'll just kind of like bop around town and like kill time and, you know, just relax. And when we went last year, I feel like that was the first time in my entire life when I realized what, like, I don't even know how to explain it, just like pure bliss of like being relaxed and able to breathe, and like my mind was clear and I wasn't thinking about social media. I wasn't thinking about the dog sanitary I forgot to groom last week. I wasn't thinking about anything at all. I was just like in completely and totally and utterly in myself and just like breathing and relaxing. And that was really awesome. Like, I don't feel like I can do that even when I'm at home. Like, I'm sitting here in my house and I'm like, oh, my computer's here, I could edit this real quick. Like, I never stop moving, I never stop doing something. So I kind of have to completely remove myself from everything. And, you know, it's too cold to do anything there. They have like literally mountains of snow that are like 18 feet taller than me. So I'm really excited to go again this year, and I'm going to attempt to ski while we're there. I'm going to try and ski once. We'll see how it goes. But while I was there last year, I found a spa, and I've already booked it. So I'm going to do something different at the spa every single day. And I get to take Nikki with me this time. So she's going to get to go and see all the snow and just walk around town and just kind of find that relaxation again, because I was really able to clear my mind. And honestly, I really, really needed that. So I'm excited about it.
Definitely, you know, definitely keep us in the loop, but as hard as it's going to be, try not to post while you're there.
I know. It's
so bad. Save everything for when you get back.
I know, but it's like, okay, I can't just stop posting. I've got to like, I'll post probably every other day or something. I'll post a picture of a dog that I've groomed. I've saved up a whole bunch of pictures because, like, you've got to stay relevant. You can't just fall off the face of the earth, you know? So yeah, it's hard. I'll probably pop on, post a picture, and pop off. I probably won't reply to messages or anything until I get back. I'm going to try really hard. I told myself last year I did really well. I wasn't on my phone. I relaxed. But last year my Instagram wasn't where it is now, and I didn't have the YouTube channel, and there's a lot of things in play now. So I'm going to try to just shut my phone off for majority of the day and allow myself, like, I don't know, 30 minutes to just social media and then shut back off.
And you leave on the 18th, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to make this really hard for you, and I'll probably release this on the 18th.
Perfect. Great.
It's just a challenge. Just a challenge. Just a challenge. So what would you say is something that you can tell other groomers out there that kind of have that same public anxiety, like not just like posting or talking to other people, but getting into the ring where other people are watching you and you're around other professionals? And how do you harness that anxiety?
Honestly, I don't. There's no harnessing it. When you, like, I have, like, it's been medically diagnosed. I have medication. I go to a doctor. It's not something I can really control. Like, although I'm learning, I'm trying really hard. I haven't taken my medicine in like 6 months. I told myself like I wasn't going to let that ruin, like, rule my life. So I've tried to just kind of overcome things on my own. And it's really tough. It is so hard. And honestly, as terrifying as it is, the best way that I've gotten through it is I just throw myself to the wolves. I'm just like, all right, here I am, like, eat me or leave me. I mean, that's, I don't know what else to, like, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna fail in front of everybody if I fail. So it's just kind of like, here it is. And I think a lot of it that makes it a little easier is
you know, there was so many times when I competed last year and I didn't place. But every single time I posted on my Instagram, on Facebook or whatever, and told the world I didn't place, and I told them why I didn't place. And so it became like a, oh, they can't make fun of me. They can't say this and this and this about my trim because I already said it about myself.
Right.
So putting it out there before anybody else could even try and put it out there before me, I feel like, as scary as it is, it really does help kind of take away from anybody else being able to, like, and because we think like that, like, people are going to come after us, people are going to say things, and even though a lot of it's irrational, like, our brain just, like, we're constantly, we just function that way, like, oh my gosh, who is judging me right now, who's outside watching me groom, who watched me just drop my comb, oh my gosh, they probably think I'm a klutz, like, I'm an idiot, and it's just, it never stops. So you just have to throw yourself out there, literally just throw yourself to the wolves, take a deep breath, drink a lot of water, and when it's all over, you're gonna feel just, like, kind of, I don't even know the word for it, just relieved and happy. Or maybe you'll be like, okay, I'm never doing that again, and that's fine, but at least you can say you did it.
Right.
So that's, it's not great advice, because anxiety is so hard and it's different for every single person, but that's my advice, is to just balls to the wall. You got to do it.
Well, piggybacking on that, and I know I mentioned that seminar already, but I actually mentioned it to them because one of them had never posted on social media before, and they were admittedly, like, a inexperienced groomer, I guess you could say. And so I gave them all the tips and stuff like that, and I reminded them, or at least I told them the story of before I got into modeling. I mean, I always was a heavy kid growing up, and then at the time, MySpace was just kind of, you know, that was the big thing. So I hated taking my shirt off, but I was like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and just throw myself out there. So I posted a picture once a week with my shirt off, and it was not making fun of myself, but at the same time, like what you said, you know, I'm sure people would be harsher nowadays because everyone feels like they can just get on a pedestal and just throw arrows. But it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I'm really putting myself out there, and I know if I want to get better, I have, just like I told you guys, you have to be better than you were before. So every week I made it a point to, you know, just have a little bit of a better, like, image of myself. But my confidence was, like, booming. I couldn't explain it because I was like, oh my God, that was me 3 weeks ago. And, like, blah, blah, blah. So, going back to not being perfect is I had told this this young groomer in the seminar, like, it's okay to post bad grooms and ask for advice. Just don't pretend that you are great at it, because there, people are going to rip you into shreds. Like,
yeah, if you act like you know everything, believe me, you're gonna get put in your place real quick.
Yeah, and that goes for even professional groomers
it
at
does.
Times.
Where, it goes, like, for everybody.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. Like, if you're really, really, really good at feet, like, post a picture and be like, what can I do for this face? Someone's going to comment on how good your feet look. Like,
yeah.
Not personally, but your dog's feet. You know what
I mean? Yes, your dog's feet. And I mean, I don't even post something and be, nor, I think I've, like, maybe once or twice been like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of this groom. Like, maybe once or twice. But, like, usually I just post a picture and I'm just like, oh, is it Fifi so cute today? Like, I don't say nothing about the quality of my groom. I just post it. And a lot of times I'll even pick out imperfections. Like, I have a Westie picture I'm about to post, and it hates its face to be dried. So I was like letting its face kennel dry for a minute. I was kind of behind. The parent was calling me, so I had to get it out and finish. And Westies get tipped ears. So you have to scissor them to a point, and one of them is funky. It is not scissored to a very good point. And you can see that in the picture. And so I think my caption is going to be, sometimes your days are just like this Westie's left ear, not on point. So, I mean, you know, you kind of got to make fun of yourself.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. Especially like I didn't place in Hershey with my Bichon, and it was because I got disqualified from a tangle in her armpit, and I was devastated, cried. I was terrible, but I posted about it. I was like, listen, make sure you don't have a tangle in your dog, because you'll get disqualified. And I like made it into a funny thing. And then when we went to Safari and I did place with her again, you know how many people came up to me and they were like, hey, you didn't have a tangle this time. And I'm like, hey, no, I didn't. I killed it, man. I bought every comb I could find. So, I mean, you just have to laugh about it and try and make it into a lighthearted thing and not be so hard on yourself, even though we all are. We're our own biggest critic.
Right. Absolutely. Well,
yeah,
I'm going to wrap it up with one more question and
okay.
I'll let you go, but this is definitely not going to be the last segment with the two of us. So,
okay.
So my question to you, and it's kind of out there for everybody in terms of advice, but what would you say is the most challenging thing for someone that is wanting to get into the competition world?
The most challenging thing,
besides being able to actually get an entry,
besides actually getting onto the ballot thing, probably having there's like a couple things. Probably having a dog to groom, because if you don't own the dog, it is so hard to borrow good quality dogs and coat. So that's probably the one major thing. And then I would have to say the other thing getting in the way is themselves, probably 90% of the time. There's a whole bunch of shows. There's a chance the show is at least 5 hours driving distance away from you. And in my opinion, that's not far at all. I travel much further for shows. So it's, in my opinion, just you and yourself get in the way of you not trying to do something, because I'm my worst at doing that myself. I get in my own self way all the time. I can't even say that. But that's a tongue twister. I get in my own way so much. But that's probably that, and not having a dog, because that was my biggest struggle when I started competing. I didn't have a dog yet, so I was borrowing a dog. It was awful. I had to go and pick it up once a week, bathe it, take it home, get up way before work to go drive like almost an hour away to go get it and come back. It was just kind of crazy, and it just is ridiculous, and it makes you hate the whole thing. So I finally got my own dog, and that made it so much better.
Yeah, you hear that all the time of people like, I don't know, a day before they're competing and they say, oh, my dog dropped out, or like, they just don't have access to the dog that they were planning on having for a competition. And
yeah, because even if you borrow a dog, you have to, or even if you rent a dog, you have to hope that that person actually shows up, that everything goes well, that they've actually been maintaining the dog. I know people pay to rent dogs and they'll bring them the dog and it's just a pelted mat all over. Right. And you're just like, okay, like seriously, what am I supposed to do with this? So yeah, owning your own dog makes the biggest difference.
I told Jazera that would be like such a great business to do, where someone actually made sure that a dog was well bathed and fluffed and the coat was grown to be ready for an area of where a competition was going to be. And then people could just have their pick of like, okay, well, I want to do poodle class, so I need a poodle, and it's there for you. Yeah, a lot easier.
Yeah, people do that. There's a lot of people, like there's a couple of breeders I know, and they have their breeding stock are available for rent for any show.
Yeah, I actually
make a lot of money that way.
I stumbled on a Facebook group that was like that, and it was breeding
contest dog,
yeah, something like that. And
I told dog network,
yeah, I told Jazera, was like, this, I told you it wasn't a bad idea.
Yeah, no, they rent, I mean, like $200-$300 per dog to use, and I mean, then you're talking entry fees on top of that, so it does get expensive having to rent a dog. So I mean, like,
yeah,
just the whole factor of not owning a dog and not having one that's well bred with good hair in your possession to compete is probably the hardest thing.
What is where is a place that people can find you in terms of contacting you or at least following you?
You can find me, easiest way to reach me is Instagram, of course, Animal Arts by Allison. Allison is A-L-L-I-S-O-N. I know there's a zillion ways to spell it. And you can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook that is Animal Arts by Allison, but honestly, that's mostly for clients. If you message me there, I will get back to you, but feel free to just message my personal Facebook, which is Allison Brooks. You can add me as a friend on there if you'd like. That's all my socials. And then I've got Pause Let's Chat, my YouTube channel. You can find that under the Groomers channel if you search. It's the Groomers channel / Pause Let's Chat. And that's up there as well.
And then you're part of Loyalty Squad, which is the competition
yes.
team. And then also you have a don't you have a seminar tour?
Yeah, I totally almost forgot about that. I've like blocked it out of my brain because we don't have another one for a couple months and I've like been stressing about other things. So I'm like, great, this is one less thing I don't have stress about right now. But I am doing a seminar tour that's we are calling the Revamp Tour with Michelle Worthy. We're going to a whole bunch of places. I think we just added New York. We've got South Carolina. We're doing several more here in Kentucky. We're doing one in Tennessee, Ohio. So we're kind of gonna be traveling a good distance and doing a bunch of those. And we have a website for that. It's therevampedtour.com, and it's got all the information with the most recent seminars, dates available with locations and prices.
Yeah, and we're trying to get Florida on there too. We got
to
figure.
I know we're trying to work it out. Between like I'm building a house this year, and I'm supposed to be getting married in September, and that's also like the main dog show of the year. So it's just like I can't find time to do anything. I also have like one of my good friends wants me to come to Texas, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I need more days in the year.
Well, in Utah, you're not allowed to think about any of that. So.
That's the goal, but. We'll see, hopefully.
Well, thank you so much, Allison, for joining us. And like I said, we'll
thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. And good luck in Atlanta. And yes. I plan on this releasing in a couple days. I'll definitely be putting that out there on Instagram and Facebook as well. So, yeah. Is there anything that you want to tell your followers?
Anything I want to tell you guys? Just try hard. Don't stop. Don't let someone's opinions bring you down, because there's always, always, always going to be somebody better, and there's always going to be somebody worse in learning, and we are all at different walks in life. One of my favorite things, quotes, or I don't even know what you want to call it, that's been said is, you never want to be the smartest person in the room. If you're the smartest person in the room, then how are you going to grow? So I try to make sure that I am and always have people that are way better than me and greater than me around me at all times. And I think that's a good goal for everybody.
Well said. All right, Allison. Well, thank you so much. And you have a great evening.
Yes, thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Bye. We appreciate all of you out there who are following and enjoying the podcast. If you could leave a glowing review for Grooming Unleashed, it would mean a lot to us, as well as sharing with your grooming friends, coworkers, bosses, and anyone else in the industry. It would mean a lot. It also would mean a lot if you would visit our sponsor, Loyalty Pet Products, at www.loyaltypetproducts.com. And don't forget, you can use the code UNLEASHED to save 10% off of your next order. Thank you very much for our sponsorship, Loyalty Pet Products, and thank you to all of you guys who are listening to us at Grooming Unleashed. We appreciate you and your support.